This is your Classical Break, your daily dose of classical music. I'm Tyler Alderson, and since this Friday is the 212th anniversary of its premiere, we'll be listening to Beethoven's Third Symphony. It's a long one, so we're breaking it up into three parts. Today we'll be listening to the opening movement, tomorrow the second movement, and then Friday the third and fourth movement. It's also known as the Eroica Symphony, which means heroic. And it's easy to hear the heroic elements. It's an epic piece in length and ambition. It's grand and bombastic in parts while still remaining viscerally personal in others. But Beethoven also had one particular hero in mind while he was writing this, Napoleon Bonaparte. At the time, Napoleon was the first consul of France, and he had the air of a man of the people. Beethoven favorably compared him to the great leaders of the Roman Republic, and he was hopeful that he might bring change to the old hierarchies in Europe, all the aristocracy and monarchies. But, of course, the Roman Republic eventually became the Roman Empire, and that's what happened with Napoleon as well. He crowned himself emperor in 1804, and Beethoven did not approve at all. He actually scratched out the dedication to Napoleon in his copy of the score, and when it was published, he had it titled Eroica instead. It was a suitably ambiguous title. But still, that connection was there, and he later mentioned to a few people that the symphony really was written for Napoleon. That hope for Napoleon mirrored some of Beethoven's own ambitions. One of the hallmarks of his predecessors was a search for order in music. Haydn, Mozart, and others used formal structures of composing, and they developed things like sonata form that created a framework for the composer to then work around. And they also worked in formal structures. They were employees of the nobility or the church. Composers had been making money from selling music directly to publishers for a while, but this was generally income in addition to their usual employment. And what they composed was dictated at least in part by what their employers needed and wanted. They need music for a party, you write music for a party. You need music for an orchestra, you write some orchestra music. Beethoven really bristled at authority. He was fiercely protective of his own creative control over his music. And so his musical style drew inspiration from the masters he studied, but it was intensely original. When he first got to Vienna, he gained fame not as a composer, but as an improviser who could take his own or others' music and turn them into expansive musical explorations. And later he would take some of those classical forms and genres like the symphony, the string quartet, the concerto, and he would stretch all those existing concepts and structures to fit his own need for individual expression. The first movement opens with two quick chords before the first theme comes in. And there's honestly just too much thematic material to unpack here. I could go on for hours analyzing each theme and motif, where they all fit in. That would honestly probably be really, really boring. So, what I will say is listen carefully during the first few minutes and try to mentally file away those melodies and those themes. They're going to come up time and time again throughout the movement, sometimes in surprising ways. This idea, which is called development, you take a couple of themes and you really work them over, that wasn't new. That's what Mozart and Haydn were developing. But the way that Beethoven did it was, and it's part of the reason why he really started to turn heads. Here's the first movement of Beethoven's Third Symphony from the Muse Open Symphony.
Thank you. Thank you.
Movement clocks in at a little over 15 minutes, which is longer than many of the full symphonies written by Haydn and Mozart, so the sheer scope of what Beethoven was doing was enough to grab people's attention. And think about those long improvisational sessions on various themes that Beethoven became famous for. He's using some of those techniques to really work that material here. Thanks to the MuseOpen Symphony for putting that up on museopen.org, and thank you so much for listening. If you have the time, please rate and review this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you get it. I'm Tyler Alderson, and tomorrow, for your classical break, we're continuing with the second movement of Beethoven's Eroica Symphony, which is a funeral march. We'll see you then.